Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for this homily was just read, especially the following words. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so it is Christmas season. We even have a little bit of snow just to put us in the mood. We're filled with parties, carols, food, ads, commercials, silly and serious, and shopping. Have you decided yet what you want for Christmas? Have you shared this with your spouse? Or if you happen to be male, are you just waiting for the right time? What you're asking for is probably pretty modest. After all, seminarians are not known for their health and wealth gospel and for the results thereof. And if you didn't get it, you'd probably be okay. But you sure would like to have it. Maybe it's that additional volume of paper that you covet. Anything to make your life that much easier. Beyond Christmas, though, are there things that maybe you're dreaming of? Maybe you need just a little bit bigger house, you know, so that you can have room for a study in the house, too. Or maybe you need one of those great new fuel-efficient cars so that you can look both good and righteous at the same time. Or maybe it is something else that you've just kind of set your heart on. Life would be so much easier if you just had that little bit more. You're not looking to win the lottery and donate half of it to the seminary. What you want is just a little bit more. And what harm could be in that? After all, if you had this, that, or the other thing, you'd be happy, wouldn't you? Dr. Luther actually quotes the Roman poet Seneca to tell you what he thinks of the kind of attitude that says, if I just had more riches, more comfort, then I would be happy. Seneca said, "A rich man is poor among his accumulated gold, and in the midst of the greatest abundance, he feels want." There was a sociological survey that was taken longitudinally, that means over time. He asked questions such as, if you were to just have this, that, or the other thing, would you be happy? If you had, say, $100 more in your paycheck each week, would that meet all your needs? Most of the people replied, oh, a little bit more, and I would be happy. $100 more? Yes, that would be enough, and I would be content. They came back with the same questions again later, years later. And most of these people had their extra $100 or the thing that they had asked for before, but now they couldn't do without those things. But if they had just $100 more, then everything would be well. Then they could be content. The problem with us, I think, is that we sometimes are more focused on what we don't have and what we think might make us a little bit more comfortable than on what we really do have. If you look around and start to take a little bit of an inventory of those things, you may discover that we really are blessed. God has provided abundantly for us. He has given us, as Luther reminds us, our life and all that we need to sustain it, our body and our senses and all that goes with that. And he keeps guard over that each and every day of our lives. Most of us have never really known true poverty, true hunger, true thirst, because the Lord has blessed us in putting us in the most prosperous nation that has existed on the face of the earth. We have been blessed beyond recognition for most people. He has given us a nation where, by and large, we are safe and secure. All you have to do is take a look at places like Somalia and Haiti, to realize how much of a blessing it is that we have been given birth in, and are allowed to grow up in this country at this time in history. We are protected with warmth, even on a day like today. We have all kinds of things that get us to and fro efficiently from our workplaces and from our places of study. We can, by and large, go home to be with our extended families over breaks and enjoy all of the comforts that come from this life in this day and age. We have been given a great many things, and especially the great and grand privilege to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to serve him by bringing God's word of comfort to his people, to proclaim the good news that he came that first Christmas, redeemed us on the cross, rose from the dead so that we might live with him forever. We have been blessed to live in a what may not seem at the moment a nice, quiet, and contemplative place where we can study God's word, learn from men that God has blessed with a great deal of wisdom and knowledge through study, and given the opportunity to forage out to a congregation to try out what God has taught us here so that we might be able to become better pastors and deaconesses and servants of God's word. We have been given a beautiful and quiet campus, a nice place well away from the busyness of even a city like Fort Wayne, where we can live on a really tranquil level if we so wish it. And there is nothing wrong with us enjoying these blessings which God has given us, because God has given them to us for a purpose, so that we can take care of ourselves, serve him, and serve others. And there's no harm in that, to rejoice that God has given us such great and wonderful blessings. But we're not very good at being content. We have dreams of all the things that call out to us on our television sets, on the internet when we go surfing around, in the newspapers when we still pick those up and look at them, on the radio they call out to us as we're trying to catch the scores and the closings of schools and so forth. All of the things that seem so wonderful and so great that we might just want to reach out and have them. We have our children and our relatives pining away at one thing or another. If I just had the latest electronic gadget, I could study a lot more effectively. If I just was able to get to seminary faster, there'd be more time to pray. All those things that seem so wonderful and so alluring call out to us. And as we think about our lives and compare them against the measure of other people's blessings, we seem to think that God really has only given us very little blessings at all. He really hasn't given us all the stuff we could use for his glory, of course. If God were to take something away from the things that we already have, and he has done that for so many of us and for so many of the people in our culture during this economic depression, we begin to think that our lives might come to an end. If the hard drive seizes up on our computer, how can we study? If we have the electricity go off, how can we read? But the truth is that these things, as much as they are blessings, are really not necessary as we might like to think. There were generations of pastors who studied without electricity, without computers, got to ministries without cars, sometimes even without horses, that went through places that were not well paved and were not well maintained, no matter how much we grumble about the ice on them. There were things that were done in generations past perfectly fine without the wonderful comforts that we have in this day and age. And yet, the fact that we have them and have them as a part of our lives becomes something that we become accustomed to, something that we think that we really need when we don't. And so, where's the harm in that? The harm is not being contented. We tend to start to covet things. and decide that perhaps we need to get them at costs that we really shouldn't pay. Maybe it's more charging on our credit accounts. Maybe it is doing something simply for the money so that we might be able to afford these things. Maybe it is to take something one way or another from someone to whom it belongs. All these things happen when we do not allow ourselves to be comforted and to be content in the things that God has given us. St. Paul recognized that that was kind of hard, but he shared that he had learned something through the times when he had had plenty and when he had been in want, sometimes because he preached the gospel. He said that he had learned the secret to being able to be content in all circumstances. That's a really interesting word for you Greek walks. It's a hapax legomena. It occurs only once in the scriptures. It is a word used by the mystery cults for that piece of knowledge that is given once you have been initiated. And Paul says that this piece of knowledge that he's whispering to his Philippian brothers is that it is in Christ who strengthens him that he can be content in all times. Why? Because on the cross, Jesus provided really what we needed. He took our sins and our covetousness and our lack of contentment and our lack of thankfulness for God's good gifts, and he nailed them with himself upon that cross. And when he died, he brought to us forgiveness for those sins, life, and salvation. Through baptism, he reached out to us across the ages and drowned these sinful desires once and for all. And when we rose from those waters, as when he rose from the dead, he gave us eternal life. Not eternal life off by and by in the sky there somewhere, but eternal life that begins now. I am the resurrection and the dead, he said. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's where it is at. We now are already in God's kingdom and have the first tastes of his eternal life, which he has earned to us, all because of our baptism. As if that were not enough, in the Lord's Supper, he gives us the strength to face all things in our life, good and bad. In the old days, when a person was receiving last rites, the priest would give the bread and say, "Bread for the journey." And even if we don't die, that sacrament is still bread and drink for our journey here in life. So that when Satan comes to us, we can not only say, "Away from me, I am baptized," we can say that I have also received the very body and blood of Christ for my salvation. So go away, because I have all that is needed and necessary for this life and for the life to come. We now, you see, have the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead. What really can this life do to us? What can happen to us that's going to take that away? And the answer is nothing. And that's the secret to contentment, to remind ourselves that we really don't need this stuff, that I am God's child and I will live with him forever, and so all the rest of this is gravy. Here to be enjoyed when it's here, and when it's not, to be let go of. Because what's really important is where we are going and who we are going with. And so, as we navigate through the Christmas season, and then beyond that, as we try to figure out how to pay for what we bought during the Christmas season, let's remember what the secret is that we were given. That in Christ, who strengthens me, we can be content no matter what comes and do all the things which he has called us to do in this life and in the life to come. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.